Acts chapter 18 and verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Kenchrea, for he had a vow. Let me just put that in a little bit of context to you. I should have done before I started reading. He's coming to the end of what seems to be at least 18 months, perhaps a little bit longer, of a time that he had spent in Corinth. Kenchrea is the port of Corinth, and it's from here that he is sailing with these friends that he has met and made, Priscilla and Aquila. And we're told that he's sailing to Syria. The intention is that he gets back to Israel, back to Jerusalem. But while he's sailing to Syria, he's sailing in the general direction of Syria. And he does stop off, and we're going to encounter that little stop in the next verse. And he came to Ephesus, which is in Asia, en route to Syria, and left them, that appears to be Priscilla and Aquila, there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea, and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia, in order strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. And just if you still have that little sheet of paper with the map on it and you want to have a look at it, then you can see there sort of the far left hand side as you're looking at it, where you go down the list. Corinth is at the bottom of that list under Achaia. And there's Kenchrea on the coast. That was where they sailed from. So that little arrow with the six underneath it is the journey that he's taking, and then a long sweep of seven back down to Caesarea. From Caesarea, he went to Jerusalem and then up to Antioch. And so that's the journey that is in our mind today. In these few verses, it's quite a long way to have travelled, but that's the distance and the direction that the apostle was going in. So here he has come to an end of his time in Corinth, and he plans to go to Jerusalem. It seems that he stopped at Ephesus on his way there, not intending to stay for very long, but taking the opportunity of being in Ephesus in order to go to the temple, or the synagogue, I'm sorry, and there to reason and to declare the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as was his wont, as was his frequent desire. And it seems that here he left his friends Priscilla and Aquila. And it's interesting to see that these two who had come from Rome, you'll remember, and had been there in Corinth when Paul arrived, had obviously built some affection with Paul. They had entertained him in their home, and now they leave and continue with him on his journey. And it shows us the usefulness that the Lord put a number of people to. And here in Ephesus, Paul reasoned with the Jews again. They asked him to stay longer, but he said he could not because he wanted to press on in his journey to Jerusalem. He promised he would return. And I wonder if you noticed what he said there. If the Lord will. That's a lovely attitude for us to have. Always to be thinking ahead is a good thing. But also to be remembering that our days and our actions and the providences of our life are all in the will of God. And strange things can happen in the space of just a moment. And sometimes our plans are thwarted. And sometimes our aspirations are dashed. And sometimes the life that we live just changes all of a sudden. So let us take that and keep that in mind. That while we make our plans, it is God who disposes, and it is God who leads us into his plan. And it is good for us to be humble and ready and prepared to accept the will of God, even if that might be a disappointment to us. It's not clear why this feast was so important to Paul. He definitely wanted to get back to Jerusalem for a feast, and we know, as a believer now, he was not any longer under any obligation to be at the feasts in Jerusalem, but perhaps he felt it was an opportunity to preach to a large gathering of people. He knew the power of the influx of people from all nations. And he had a desire to get back to Jerusalem, perhaps simply that he could be there to preach the gospel to as many as were gathering. It's not that he made that journey every year, as was the Jewish custom, because we know that he had spent the last 18 months in Corinth, so he hadn't been at Jerusalem the previous year. Then in verse 22, we are told that he goes to Jerusalem. So he had sailed away from Ephesus. Look at verse 22 and verse 23. I just want you to I just want you to mark this sort of in your head, if not in your Bible, because and when he had landed at Caesarea, so that was a port, probably not the nearest port to Jerusalem, but the easiest port to access, which is again a lovely little incidental fact from Scripture. And had gone up and saluted the church. And that's it. That's it. That's all we know about this journey here to Jerusalem. So he's telling us all this time that he's planning to get there, And then he says that he had gone up and saluted the church. So he greeted the church there. And then what did he do? He went down to Antioch. So I wonder if you can remember where he started the second missionary journey from. Antioch. He's done it. He's completed his second missionary journey. That's him. He had been round all. His first missionary journey had been amazing enough, going up into Turkey and Asia and all these towns, and then back to Antioch. And then he went on another, not this time with Barnabas, but with Silas, and he went on another missionary journey. And then when he had been planning to come back round and go back to Antioch, remember what happened? He got called to go over to Macedonia, and he took the gospel into Europe. And that was where he was at Thessalonica and Berea and down to Corinth ultimately before sailing back. So now his second missionary journey is complete. And you know what? He starts the third one. In the same verse, he begins the third missionary journey. So this is such an important little verse, and you would just glide over it if it wasn't pointed out perhaps to you. And after he had spent some time there in Antioch, verse 23, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia. So that's him back up into Turkey, into Asia, into northern Turkey and Phrygia, in order strengthening all the disciples. Okay, quickly into the last section and then we're done here. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. Here we meet Apollos for the first time. And he has a reputation of being a very fine preacher and an able Bible scholar. We are told that he was mighty in the word. And what that means is that he was mighty in the Old Testament scriptures. He had studied the prophecies of the Old Testament. He knew all about the coming Messiah. There was an eagerness and an excitement in this man's ministry. He anticipated the soon arrival of the Messiah, and he went around declaring to all the Jews. It seems to have been that he had a preaching burden, much like Paul had, to go and speak in different places to the Jews in the synagogues and tell them about the imminent arrival of the Messiah. But he hadn't realized, he didn't know that the Messiah had actually come. So here is Apollos telling people to expect the Messiah, expect the Messiah. And Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching in the synagogue. And they said to him, come aside. It's lovely that they did that. You know, there's a good lesson there. If ever you've got to correct the preacher about something, don't do it publicly, please. Call him aside afterwards and maybe just speak to him. It seems that they did it perhaps even in the privacy of their own home. They showed him hospitality. That was gracious on their part. You know what was also very gracious? Maybe more so. Apollos took the wisdom and the instruction of these two tent makers. For all of his eloquence and his learning, for all of his understanding and his might in the pulpit, he took the instruction of tent makers. You know, proud men would say, you deal with your tents, I'm the preacher here. But they showed him just sufficient from being in the presence of Paul for the time that he was in Corinth. They had something to say to Apollos which opened up his whole understanding and showed him that in fact Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the Messiah that he had been so eagerly anticipating. It seems as if Apollos was just familiar with the teaching of John the Baptist. He at least had caught up with the teaching of John the Baptist. Maybe he was, somebody speculated, the son of some of the disciples of John the Baptist. But who knows? He knew of the baptism of John. He knew of the eager anticipation of John's ministry. And now we find that this man is being used by God as a mighty preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 27 and verse 28 says that he became very useful in the churches of the new gospel church. And verse 28, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And at the end of verse 27, he helped the churches which had believed through grace. And that just reminds us that Apollos knew as well that salvation was by grace. And he knew what it was to preach grace and to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's an introduction to Apollos, an end of the second missionary journey, the beginning of the third missionary journey, and my, you can hardly keep up with these men, can you? Amen.